First Thessalonians chapter 5. I mean chapter 4, excuse me. We are in verse 8. Was just to repeat, verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now despise here is the word that means consider lightly, disesteem. And we read a whole bunch from Isaiah and the Proverbs about what despiseth, how it's used. But it's a huge deal. Just think of what that one sentence says. He, therefore, that despiseth another, despiseth not man, but God. And if you understand that word, despise it, it means to consider lightly. Now that's a big deal.
Yeah, and there's no modifier after despise it. It's not despise it man, it's despise it.
Well, it says that. It says he doesn't despise, if he that despiseth not man, but God.
Yeah, so that's everything.
Right.
Let's go to
James and see another expansion on that. My voice sounds weird. Does it sound weird?
It was a little gurgly just then.
Verse 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you?
What chapter?
James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And this is the verse that concerns despise it. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? Now do you see the relationship between he that despiseth not man, but God? Here it says he that judgeth, it's so complete, it's judged down, it's to consider lightly, it's to consider one person more important than the other, than your respecter of persons. There's an equanimity Is that a word?
It's a good one.
Yes.
There's an equanimity among the brethren. And each one is called to an office, but not an office that you invent in your mind. It's an office of the body that comes from abandonment. So if you see your brother do, you know, you can exhort one another, cause them to change or to move from one state of being, time and space, back onto the mercy seat. But that's done in love. You don't look down on another. This is a biggie. Again, most people go to church, they go to a church of people like them. We've talked about many times. And so they are like them because they have common idolatry. And if you put an abandoned soul in the midst, and he speaks to this idolatry or common idolatry, then he's rejected. And we think that we would like to be with people like ourselves. No, because then you will have nothing and no instrument to reveal your own idolatry.
That's boring.
What?
That is boring.
What is boring?
To be in your own clique of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because you really can't say what's there. Because that's the whole reason why you're with that clique of people.
Now, again, we plot... Where this is seen most, obviously, is in your family. In your family, or your natural. Because 99% of the time, you are like them, and they have common idolatry. And so if you, in family gatherings, if you just don't speak because of the, and again, all people have conflict, want to avoid conflict. So conflict avoidance is the reason that we don't speak. It's the reason we don't challenge each other. It's the reason that we see idolatry in another and we don't challenge them on it. Anyhow, you see the difference of speaking versus judging down and considering lightly?
How about judging up?
It's the same thing. If you judge up, you have to judge another down.
You're judging yourself down and another up.
Right, that's why when you have this crap about having role models or, you know, coaches, as Harry used to say.
Coaches?
Well, it's the same thing. If you're in athletics, you find a coach that challenges you and makes you a better player, but does it in love or in not anger, but that's the kind of person you want for your whole life, or many people do. All right, go back. This is about despising another. And what he's saying here, if you judge your brother, you're judging the law, or despising the law is really what it's saying. All right?
Back to Thessalonians.
No, we're going to go back to Isaiah 49. It's hard to believe that Isaiah was written almost 700 years before Christ. And yet his words are timeless. You understand what words being timeless means? They apply in every possible situation. They apply in every possible time. And they apply in every possible gathering or arena. That's why this idea of dispensationalism is so evil. The idea that God was doing something different back then than he is now. All right. So listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye the people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, and hath made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. He hath hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him, through it, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to whom the nation abhorreth. To a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Now, the operative word is that man despiseth the Redeemer. Why?
It goes against the very core of what man is about, which is self-seeking.
Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the arm is a, it means, the word there is seed, zeruah. To whom is the seed of... To whom is the seed of the Lord, or the strength of the Lord, or the revelation of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. For he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So the operative idea here is that all men despise the Lord, including you and I. If we pay any attention whatsoever, if we leave the mercy seat, and if anything in the universe causes us to go back, to leave back into time and space, then by definition, you must and you will despise the Lord. You cannot be a friend of the Lord and give breath to self. They're mutually exclusive. And so all of the preaching that we would like it to be true, every one of us would like the prosperity gospel to be true, it isn't true. It's a lie.
Without the cross, we'll give breath to self and do it in the name of Jesus.
All right.
So that we're justified in our own mind and happy with God.
Right, because we're happy in that. Remember that we had the idea. What we do in our minds is we give importance to segments of time. So we put up the what am I trying to say? There's a word that isn't coming to me. parameters of, we have a parameter. Some have a narrow parameter. Harry used to have, his parameter was the size of his closet until he finally saw. But all of us have a parameter that we look and live in, and in that, and it's not the parameter that the Lord has. The Lord has us and exhorts us to move your tent pegs and lengthen the cords unto the edge of time and space. If you do that, you cannot have anything that you give breath to in time and space, because it's all denigrating. It's all going the way of the second law of thermodynamics. Nothing in it and of itself can ever reproduce anything greater than itself. And so we are on a downward slide. But the prosperity gospel and much of modern Christianity, they scream and yell about evolution being taught in schools, and Darwin, etc. But what they're believing is spiritual evolution. Do you see that? And so there's a whole nation, a whole huge numbers of people being deceived by preaching spiritual evolution. What?
But their intentions are good in their own mind. That's what drives them. Because they think they're doing the highest good, and so they commit to it, just like terrorists think they're doing something really wonderful by killing people.
Now, was that a philosophy, or was that a
if you have ears to hear, it was pure spirit.
You get it, Gary.
No, we all are that enemy.
All we can be. That's the sad part of it for man.
Does everybody understand that? To know that you're an enemy of God has to make you stop in your tracks.
That's where those guys said, you know, I agree with this stuff, so now what shall I do? You know, I like it, but what do I do now? Believe.
So anyway, we're talking about this whole thing that you cannot accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Because there's no personhood in you if he is revealed. You're gone. You're toast. He cannot be apprehended by your mind. Your mind will always, by definition, despise the Redeemer. There's no way your mind can ever be in agreement with the Redeemer, because your mind is the product of the curse. The curse, fundamentally, is self-awareness. The fall couldn't happen, and the curse couldn't happen until Adam named the names, because when you name it, then you separate yourself from it. And that's the fruit now. Everything we are taught constantly from our childhood, we are taught idolatry. And it's mind-blowing when you see the vanity of all men. Amen? Okay, let's go to Genesis 12 a minute.
You know that personal savior phrase you say a lot? What does that mean? I'm not familiar with it, so I don't even know what that means.
Well, if you ever go to any evangelical church, or listen to Trinity Broadcasting Network or any of the religious networks, somewhere during the program there will be an altar call. And the question will be asked of you, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior?
Doesn't make sense to me, but okay.
Well, it means that you have an intimate relationship with God, and that you are, and your ideas and the things you want and all that are what God wants for you. Instead of it's not my Father which art in heaven, it's our Father. The idea of the community is the essence of Christianity. You can't do this alone. All right. Now the call, excuse me. This goes down to all of the generations of down to Abraham. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, if you believe what's most of the ancient stories about it, the way the Lord said, Get thee out, was the famous story about his dad was a high priest. He was next heir to be, Nimrod didn't have a male son, so the high priest's son was the heir to all of the kingdom of Nimrod. And what he did, because he's the first one we know of to challenge this idea that God changes with time. And when he finally saw at this hall, great hall, there were 500 idols that were worshipped in Babylon, or whatever they called it then. And he took an axe and busted every 499 idols, busted them up, and then took the axe that he used to bust them and he put it in the arms of the outstretched arms of the chief god, which is the god that had the head, the body of a man, and the head of a ox or something. And so in doing that, that's how God told him to get thee out. So we read it here that God told him to go away. Now, when we read about Moses, it says Moses esteemed the Christ better than the riches of Egypt and the pleasures of Egypt. Moses also was to be the next Pharaoh. But when it says in the scriptures he's son of Pharaoh's daughter, that meant he was the heir to the throne. What happened? He killed an Egyptian soldier. Yeah. And he didn't leave voluntarily. He was chased out. And he spent 40 years in the wilderness before he came back. So you got to see this. If the New Testament were being written about this time, it would say the same thing about each one of us. You were called out of something. Only we didn't hear any voices. What happens is everything that we thought was important became crap, or that we couldn't do anything, and we were driven out. You see why the scriptures are so incredible from that standpoint? Because from the time of your rebirth, if you will, then it considers all the stuff that happened before that as that God called you out. And it's really incredible, because that's why it's so, when you see this, you can understand how easy it is to forgive yourself. And yet forgiveness of self is very rare.
Yeah.
Amen, Ronnie?
Amen.
So, So you can't forgive self by analyzing it and just, well, I'm forgiven because it's the... You have to know that it was God's hand on you in every aspect of your life, even the bad things, even the really bad things. It was God's hand on you, and that process or that thing was called the call.
Even the really, really, really bad?
Yeah, even Ronnie. But therein is the freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moses killed the man. That's pretty bad. I was thinking he also knew the riches of Egypt. He wasn't esteeming them lightly because he didn't know them, but he was raised in Pharaoh's house, right?
Well, he was raised to be
the next Pharaoh.
Yeah. He was taught all the... if any of you ever heard of the Egyptian Book of the Dead... Well, essentially, it was a manual for the Pharaoh, for raising him up.
And he weighed that, which he experienced, against the revelation of Christ. There's the...
No, he didn't weigh it then. He was chased out.
Chased out. Yeah, that's a good point.
Huh?
But
the word says,
yeah,
let me read it. Let me read exactly what it says.
I was giving you some credit.
What?
I was giving Moses some credit there.
No, you can't do that.
We read it last night.
No.
Last night, where were you?
The Bible study. That's how I knew the answer.
We're jumping ahead.
Okay, Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Well, if they weren't afraid of the king's commandment, why did they hide him? By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which that's a title. The son of Pharaoh's daughter is the heir to the throne. So it says by faith Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of a reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, that's not what it says about him, but that's what God sees. Now, if you can hear this, this will totally transform your mind. Because you can forgive yourself in a heartbeat.
Right.
If these are the words applied to Moses, and we know from Genesis what Moses did, so this is how you see from the top down instead of the bottom up. Bottom up, you're a little victim of the universe. Do you see?
Yeah, that's good.
Anybody have any questions or response?
That's cool.
Paul?
Amen, I guess.
Amen is a good one.
Well, I have to say something, otherwise he'll tell me my silence is witness against me, right?
You got it. You've been listening. Well, we're going to study tomorrow, if God doesn't come.
It's really cool that you tie this to forgiveness of self.
It's the only way you will ever forgive yourself.
That's for sure.
Because in your own scenario, you're unforgivable. So if you want to live in your own scenario, then beat yourself and do whatever you have to do. But if you want to live in God's scenario...
And believe this stuff, God is just... sloppy agape, Jesus just throwing around forgiveness to everybody. And so therefore you never have to face the fact that you despise him.
It's just another testament to, I mean, not only did the sacrifice of his son happen, but again, everything that brought you to this point was by his hand only.
Amen.
Yeah. And to hear that is, one, there really isn't a loophole,
yeah.
And two, it is freedom.
And then we'll, tomorrow, whenever we meet again, if we meet again, we'll study how this same thing happened with Abraham. All right? This is Mr. Paul's last morning here. You want to lay hands on you? Want to lay hands on you?
Yeah.
All right. Gather around.
Oh, come on.
You have to come over here and sit.
The seat of all these foot.
You have to sit in the despising of my foot.
Touch your neighbor.
Come on, Ronnie. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. For whatever reason, no matter how silly it seems to the rest of us, Paul decided he'd come down and visit us. Now, Father, put your hand upon him. By your Spirit, open doors that should be open, and close doors that should be closed. Go before him, that he may know and see and understand and be apprehended totally by this mystery into which we have been delivered. We praise you, Father. Rest in him, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. But again, no, wait a minute. Keala's 3 or 4 days or a week supersedes Ronnie's.
So much time to save yourself. For you, there really are no loopholes on this one. So many opportunities.
Anybody fall down yet on the ice?
Don't say that.
You better remind your ass. You got 25
hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks. I'm glad I was able to finally get away here.
Help! Guess
nobody's gonna. Jeff, you gonna have oatmeal?
Yes. You almost weren't.
Oh, no, I have Cheerios.
Yes.
I'm gonna put Cheerios in my oatmeal. See, you can't give Moses or any of any credit.
Yeah, I did there for a minute.
I noticed.
Yeah.
All good, but I said it. But if he gets credit, I get credit.
Before I...
Nice try, dude.
Yeah.
Nice try, but no cigar.
Didn't fly, did it?
Didn't fly.
Fell right into the trap. Hey, Paul?
Yeah.
Why don't you give me a call? What time do you want to leave?
I figured if I have just lunch here at 12, and don't bother getting too much, just head up right after that.
Okay. I should be around.
Yeah. I'll keep on, see what the price is like, yeah, what's going on, just, yeah. imagine it's a little slow this morning.
Could be.
So,
I'm trying to bump the people forward.
Still better to be there early than,
Yeah, it's 15, 20 minutes away, so.
If his flight's on time, he should probably be here at 12:30, but my guess is it'll be later. No, flight's at 2. You got to be there in advance.
You'll be there an hour in advance?
You know that. I have walked on Southwest 5 minutes before the flight has left, but my luggage didn't make it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what time would you like to be there? If it leaves at 2:10.
It'd be nice to be there around.
No. Yeah. Okay. So, really, 1:15.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, well, just call.
All right.